you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, 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 everybody. I'm Nikki Novak. Welcome to another episode of The After Show. This one is very exciting because we have all of the big news. We're going to be breaking down everything that went on, all the major announcements. We're going to talk about our thoughts about D23 2022. And if we're going to talk about D23, we got to have somebody that was in the room and saw the footage and can talk about stuff that wasn't released yet and every little moment and every little nuance. And that is Koi Jondro. Koi, it is so good to have you here. First of all, how the heck was it?
It was so many rooms. It was so many things. It was so much. Just the panel we're talking about was about 3 hours. I think it was like 3 hours and 5 minutes all told. So when you're covering, I also did the animation panel, the Pixar panel, the live action panel, and then I did the TV panel. So, I mean, it's like 9 hours of just volume, but it was really special being in that room, and I don't think that there's a way to translate that through the masses. Like, when you hear about it, it's like, oh, cool, they announced this. But when you're in the room, it's like a concert. It's like being there for the Stones. It's like being there for these, like, historic moments. And I know a lot of people want every moment to be as big as the Avengers being announced. But at the end of the day, these are all things that I never thought I'd see. And I'm going to get a lot of, like, you know, shill commentary, but I'm ready. I was happy, man. I was so vibing for 3 hours of pure announcement glee.
So let's jump right in. First of all, we're going to break this down into a couple, different sections. We're going to start with Marvel and the Marvel presentation. Major trailers that we got. We got a Werewolf by Night trailer. Of course, that's like the first ever Marvel special, not a series, not a movie, but a special. They're really embracing their horror vibes these days between Multiverse of Madness and this and everything that we've got going on. So first of all, I just want to everybody to have a look at the trailer. We're first going to see the trailer for Werewolf by Night, and then we're going to discuss it. Take a look.
You'll want to see this, darling.
Please don't do this.
Death is coming for you!
Okay, what the heck? What is Koi? What was the reaction in the room to this?
It was such shock and surprise because we had all hoped that was one of the wish list, like checklist items, because this does come out next month. And we were like, hey, is this still happening? Yeah. Michael Giacchino, one of the biggest composers of our time, he's supposed to be directing this. We haven't seen, you know, word one of footage. But then they showed the footage and there were gasps in the audience. There was a lot of that, like, tense, oh my God, is this actually this scary? There was a lot of, like, looking around. And what I loved was from the first frame, it was unique. They made that, you know, special edition 70s, like it felt that unique,
yes.
Isn't a movie, isn't a show, is a special. And that gives me a lot of hope for the Guardians Christmas special. That gives me a lot of hope they'll do more of these high budget one shot things. Because, you know, Werewolf by Night isn't a character I don't necessarily think will lead 100 places. It might be like a throwaway in Midnight Suns. It does look like it's bringing a Swamp Thing. But it's an interesting way to go, like, hey, if this does well, it can open doors, but it doesn't have to. I thought it was a really cool tone. I thought it, like you said, leaned into the horror. And I think it's really smart of Marvel to go, like, hey, we're not one thing, because there is an abundance. We're living in a time of lots of content. So it's good to go this far away from what you're currently doing.
All right, Koi. So one I know you're super excited about, and I cannot wait to hear your reaction, is the trailer for Secret Invasion dropped. We all get a chance to see it. Have a look.
You're in no shape for this fight that lies before us. This is just the beginning.
This is my war. Alone. And I'm the last person standing between them and what they really want. And what is that?
All right. What was the reaction in the room? What's your reaction?
Okay, so this was my biggest surprise out of SDCC. I was, you know, casually excited for Secret Invasion, but it wasn't in the top of my most anticipated with how much is coming out. This trailer was jarringly good. And then this new trailer was everything I liked about the San Diego footage, but more polished, better paced. It has this, I don't know, espionage thriller a la Winter Soldier, but with that great paranoia of, you know, the faculty and those great like body snatcher movies. It just has this undercurrent of like, who do you trust, which comes from body swap movies, but also you add that spy thriller element. You get Ben Mendelsohn, who is so good. You get Samuel Jackson, who's been an incredible supporting player and occasional lead, but in a true leading role. And you finally get some Don Cheadle getting to show why he's War Machine. Like, the intrigue of Colonel Rhodey has been like this slow percolating thing, as has Samuel Jackson's. So this seems to be a lot of that friction coming to a head with a really great story about paranoia that's actually going to change everything. And what was interesting about this presentation is they did it right after Armor Wars, and they kept stressing that the events of Armor Wars is what caused this to take place. Like, this is apparently a 1-2 punch, which they hadn't revealed before. So I think what happens is, in Armor Wars, we have Don Cheadle. I think Justin Hammer comes back. I think we've got the ramifications of things that happen in Ironheart. I think we've got a lot of tech battles. And with the villain they're using in Ironheart, which we'll talk about here in a minute, I think something happens that makes people distrust humans, I mean heroes, and then we find out a lot of other humans are Skrulls as well, leading to this global panic.
Let's get into it. Let's talk about the villain, Anthony Ramos.
He's basically a character that is magic. He's black magic. He's darkness. He's a good setup for Doctor Doom, and he's going against someone that's tech-based. And Kevin Feige really seemed to stress that it's going to be tech versus magic. We've seen plenty of magic by way of Doctor Strange. We've seen plenty of tech by way of Iron Man. We haven't seen a lot of tech and magic conflicting, and I think that's how you set up Doctor Doom, who embodies both of those worlds. So I think the hood is a great gateway to the future of this magic infusion. So I think what happens is Ironheart is able to eventually take him out, but we do see the folly in technology. We see technology maybe get to the wrong hands, which leads to Armor Wars, which then it seems like leads directly into Secret Invasions. This is a giant overarching storyline that's going to take place over the next 3 years.
All right, let's talk about Thunderbolts. Like I said, class photo of 2022. What did you think about this announcement? And again, being in that room, what was that energy like? And then I know Florence Pugh had to Zoom in her call because she's, you know, obviously filming Dune 2. So just break it down for me.
So it was so clever. They had the image come up of just one of the members and then a second member. And then it just filled out this class photo. So every time someone walked out on stage, it was a bigger and bigger cacophony. So I think that the order they did it was genius, because I really wasn't expecting David Harbour. He was one of the last. I heard Florence Pugh bandied about because it makes sense with her arc. She's got something to prove. She's going after someone. But for her to be in that leadership spot is really exciting. And then I thought that was going to be it, because there's that small gap where they ended up putting Sebastian Stan. He was the last one out. He was the big surprise. And I'm thinking, not only are we going to get a leadership rivalry, we also might get some friction between the two of them. We've also got, everyone wanted that Winter Soldier relationship. Not everyone, but a lot of people wanted that Black Widow and Cap relationship. What better way to have that than the new Black Widow and Cap? And you're doing it on a team where they're going to have opposing opinions.
Yes, true. And what did you think about the rest of the cast that was announced? Wyatt Russell, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. What did you think about the rest of it?
So I think it's going to be really interesting to see this version of Captain America, U.S. agent, going up against Bucky alongside Bucky. I think he's going to be the one trying to keep them online, like keep them trying to do the right thing. I also noticed that it's a lot of super soldiers that have been reformed. Almost all of these characters have had a redemption arc. So in the comic books, what the Thunderbolts are a team of villains pretending to be heroes as a way to kind of get their own way. I'm wondering, since Marvel's so good at subverting comic book fans' expectations like myself, what if these are people that are reformed villains that are actually doing heroic things that no one trusts? What if after the events of Secret Invasion, after the events of the DODC, we are actually having heroes that are hated, and that sets us up long game, not in the next 6 months, but long game for X-Men. The X-Men are a team the world hates and fears. What if Thunderbolts is the first team that the audience distrusts in world, and we in our world know to be good because they're reformed? It'd be really interesting to see someone like US Agent go from bad guy literally decapitating someone in public to someone we're like, man, that Wyatt Russell's charming. He seems to be putting his stuff together. And also the not using Baron Zemo, who's essential to the Thunderbolts. That's going to be interesting. Maybe they're going to rescue him. Abomination, we all assumed was in there, but maybe they're waiting to put that in at the end of the She-Hulk run. Like, there could be more than just this team, but I definitely think it's interesting we got Ghost, because of anyone, she ended the most heroically. Her arc in Ant-Man and the Wasp is like, oh, she's misunderstood. So I think Bucky's arc isn't going to be devalued like a lot of people are worried about. I do think Bucky is still reformed. I think he's been to therapy. I think our boy is looking at mental health importantly, and I think that's going to come into play in this.
Let's talk about some of the other announcements. There was some footage shown just to the audience there that you can talk about that was not released to the public yet, and that was Ironheart and Black Panther Wakanda Forever. And then we had some other announcements. We had Armor Wars with Don Cheadle. We had, like you said, Matt Shakman, director of Fantastic Four, was announced. Captain America New World Order, the villain will be Tim Blake Nelson. So in terms of Ironheart and Black Panther Wakanda Forever, what was shown that maybe we haven't seen before?
So I'm going to start with Ironheart. Riri Williams is one of my favorite new characters. She's invented by Brian Michael Bendis, who's one of my favorite comic writers. And she's written almost like an Aaron Sorkin character. She's got that like iambic pentameter, that pace, that flow. And everything we've seen is exactly that. She's got such a flow, such a lyricism, such a playfulness, but she's definitely intense. Like, Riri is not someone you'd mess with. And you can tell she's smarter than you. And I love the way she's being portrayed as like, yeah, I wouldn't mess with her. And she'd outsmart me, run laps, and she could build a thing to take me out. It looks like exactly what I dreamed of the character. This was a really impressive trailer, especially since they're not done filming yet.
And what about Wakanda Forever? Anything?
So this was like a scene. It was less of a trailer, and it was more like two scenes cut together. So we had a full-on courtroom scene where we see the entire world looking at Wakanda, and it's basically them saying, we're not going to give up our vibranium, and everyone's asking for it. Richard Schiff from The West Wing looks like the American ambassador trying to get vibranium from the world, saying like, it's a weapon, we can't, you know, trust that to people by themselves, you need to spread this, blah blah blah. And them being like, no, you're not getting vibranium, this is what could happen, this could mess up everything. And then we see the tension forming around what those relationships are. And I think, to be honest, they're going to take a note from a comic book storyline where they destroy all the vibranium in the world. They render it inert. And basically that depowers Wakanda, but it also allows a weapon not to fall into the wrong hands because of how powerful vibranium is. And then we might get a more singular new Black Panther being the only one that has vibranium. And I think in that moment of weakness, maybe that's when, Namor tries to invade. Maybe that's when Atlantis tries to come over, you know, through a powerful coup. And that also could lead to Dr. Doom, who I've mentioned a bunch, being someone pulling the strings, making all of this happen faster, like an Emperor Palpatine, like behind the scenes villain type.
Coy, real quick, if you had to choose the one thing from the entire Marvel presentation that got you the most jazzed from D23, what is it? You can only choose one.
It's a weird one. The easy one's Thunderbolts, so I'll acknowledge that. But we've already talked about it. The weird one is the movie I wanted to like most that's in my bottom five MCU films that I wanted to like most looks like it's giving me a sequel that I'm dying for. The Marvel's footage is everything I want. I love the character of Carol Danvers. I love the actress Brie Larson. I love so much what she could be, but I thought that was the first time I was like, okay, this made $1 billion. I'm really happy for the people that loved it. It just didn't hit for me. So I felt left out. Like, I felt like, what did I not get? And so for the sequel to be a fun Freaky Friday meets Guardians of the Galaxy meets J.J. Abrams' Kelvin Universe meets, you know, Miss Marvel and Captain Marvel both getting sequels and having Tiana Paris in her fully powered photon post-WandaVision, it's everything. And then you add that Nia DaCosta, who directed the hell out of Candyman last year, yeah. One of my biggest surprises of the year. It looks like she got to do everything she wanted. She's a giant comic book fan, and it shows in every frame. Nia DaCosta is one of us, so it looks like she's doing all the things I wanted the first one to do. So it's honestly the biggest surprise for me, and the most hyped footage, and a sequel to a show I love, and a movie I wanted to love. So I can't deny the Marvels really hit for me.
Okay, let's move on to the presentation that shocked me the most, in that I think it might have been my favorite and would never have expected it, and that was Lucasfilm. I thought they had really solid trailers. We saw Mandalorian season 3 trailer, which we'll talk about, Andor, and Willow, which I didn't even really, wasn't really on my radar, but I got to be honest, it looks really fun. What were your overall thoughts on the Lucasfilm presentation?
I was impressed with Lucasfilm because I have gotten more and more back into Star Wars in the last 2 years. I definitely had fallen off. The fandom can be very aggressive, especially online, and that makes it hard to be a casual fan. And I think since I'm such a diehard comic book fan, both Marvel and DC, if I talk about something, people assume, like if you're like a 9 at knowledge at one thing, for some reason, if it's in fandom, people are like, you're a 9 at everything. And I'm like, bro, I'm like a 4. So I was always afraid of Star Wars. And after going to Celebration this year, after what Mandalorian did to open up the fandom, I'm so Lucasfilm right now. So this was my first D23 that I was like, okay, I'm as invested in this. And then it blew me away. I love the Mandalorian trailer. Andor is all the things I love about Star Wars. I like the political intrigue, but not politics. I know that's a weird dichotomy, but I don't love talking about the Senate. I do love the ramification of people on the ground dealing with an empire fighting. Like, I love the street level stuff that Rogue One was on a galactic scale. And Andor is that for me. So those are my two big properties. And now they're both looking real shiny and great.
Well, let's look at the first shiny toy, and that is Mandalorian season 3. Have a look.
Fractured our people. Where were you then? Did you think your dad was the only Mandalorian?
I'm ready to go.
All right, kid. Hang on.
Man, Koi.
It looks so good.
It looks so good. We're out of the desert. Like,
no more Tatooine.
We're out of the desert. It's sleek. It's polished.
And the group shots, the Navy SEAL moments, those intense, like, SEAL Team 6 jump outs with a bunch of Mandos. Like, come on.
The line that got me was, did you think your dad was the only Mandalorian? I was like, don't do that to him. Don't scar his childhood. Come on.
Don't sass Grogu. What are you doing? Also, like, the duality of very cute Grogu with very intense action was especially on display in this trailer, because that's what the show is. It's a duality.
It never gets old. It never gets old. It never gets old. That relationship is so deep.
And always, it's so always deep in joyful. Us. I'm always so joyous. It's a specific flavor of happy.
What was a moment that stood out for you in the trailer? And that crowd must have gone nuts when they saw that trailer.
It was a smart finale. I think the moment in the cockpit when Grogu's like flying with him, because it's such a dad moment. It was like, you know, proud Papa Bear, like, oh, my kid. And after all the action of the trailer, I really enjoyed, because I love human moments. And that's what I love about genre content, is it reframes humanity. We watch these things to see ourselves in things that are different than us, and to see all of us as equal in that we share a love of something different than us. And there's not much more different than like a father and son. One of them's a little baby Yoda alien and the other one can't take his mask off. Like, that's so weird. And I'm so like, father and son. So I love that image.
Let's move on to Andor. We have a trailer. Take a look.
Every day we wait, they get stronger. us take them by surprise.
For the greater good.
Call it what you will.
Let's call it war.
People are standing up. They're afraid. Right now, they're afraid.
All right, like you said, you sort of touched on it a little bit. Diego Luna, to me, you know, when you see, first of all, 24 episodes, I can't believe they're even, you know, that they have that many in the bag. When they announced that, was it at Comic-Con that they announced it? There was going to be 24 episodes?
Yeah, and then like, they spelled it out here, and I'm like, even knowing it, it was still like, wow.
Yeah, but Diego Luna, to me, is one of those people when I hear he's like, you know, you hear these Disney Plus announcements, and they've been a ton of series that they've given us. They've spoiled us for choice. But he really has that star power that, like, this could be a film, or we're just putting it on Disney. Like, he just has that magnetism. I loved him in Rogue One, and I feel like this is so long overdue. What were your thoughts?
I loved seeing him just piece by piece become the character we know. I think a lot of times prequels fall because they're like, oh, where'd he get that gun, or where'd he get that sword, or why is Han Solo named Han Solo? I don't want to see things that feel like they're force feeding me. I'd rather see an emotional arc, because life isn't about what you carry with you. Life's about the emotional baggage you carry with you. I care more about someone's journey. So it was really interesting to see like this guy kind of become the character we know. Even in the trailer, you see a shift in him. You see things start to catalyze and become the character we know. So I was really impressed with the tone it was able to balance and what it looks like it can do in 24. It looks like it's deserved the 24 episodes. And, you know, you're always worried something goes too long. I was like, no, I'd like to see a lot of this, please.
This is back to network television giving us 24 episodes of something, but I think it's really fun. It shows their confidence. And what I noticed in this trailer, and I noticed it in several of the trailers, that, you know, unlike some of the stuff that maybe we saw in Phase 4, everything just seems like it's working. The people that are creating these series and these films really have a handle on it. It's the right thing for them to be working on. They either have a history with it, they have a passion for it. Nothing feels forced. This feels like it's just, again, like same as Secret Invasion, firing on all cylinders. It's really working.
And it just seems to make sense. It doesn't look like they're like, what can we do? It's what should we do?
Yes. It feels very inspired. Okay, so let's end the Lucasfilm presentation on an unexpected delight, and that was at the trailer for Willow. And here it is.
When that balance is upset, the universe corrects.
The world needs you again. It needs your magic.
Into the unknown. That's where we must go.
This to me feels like the Ted Lasso of Lucasfilm. You know what I'm saying?
Love that. Yes. Like, and now that's their poster. That's all they need is a log line. Because if I hadn't seen the trailer, that's all then I'm watching. Like, you just tell me that, I'm in.
Right. Anytime you say it's the Ted Lasso of anything, people are going to watch it. But no, I just thought, you know, it's also what we need. When people use that phrase, what we need right now, it kind of has that levity that I think people are embracing more, and that innocence and that... You know, for a while, everything was so dark. And just to sort of, this feels like it has the right balance of just those, you know, really corny moments that we can just sort of embrace and sit back and not take it too seriously. What did you think?
I love that it feels warm, because so much fantasy is so cold and mean.
True.
Like, I love shows that are, you know, event television, but I personally, and I'm going to get guff for this and I'm ready for it, I can't always shoulder a Game of Thrones on a Sunday, because I'm like, you're mean to me. Like, I don't always want you to be mean to me. The world's dark. I don't need my fiction to be dark. I'm already like dealing with Twitter. So like, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to put myself in this boat. It was really nice to have a fantasy show that didn't feel like I'd leave more tired. So I was really like heartfelt invested because I'm like, oh, good. I can enjoy this without feeling like I'll be berated for it. So that was great. And then the Christian Slater announcement, like who doesn't love Christian Slater? So that you've just upped your game, given me great footage and endeared me to the cast even more. Plus Christian Slater. Come on.
It's funny that you said that about Game of Thrones, because actually in the first 30 seconds of the trailer, I'm like, this is Game of Thrones, but without the sex and the violence. And
like, I don't have anything against sex and violence, but I do have when everything is sex and violence, it's nice to just be happy like Ted Lasso.
I agree. Let's leave that one there. Okay, let's move on to Disney Pixar. That is the third and final presentation that we're going to be discussing. We got two main major trailers, and that was for The Little Mermaid, which I don't think that was a surprise that they showed that. I think everybody kind of expected that was going to happen. Let's take a look at the trailer, and then I'll give you my thoughts.
So they gave us actually a little bit more in the room. They gave us an entire song from Little Mermaid. So we got like 4 minutes of movie, and it is breathtaking. And I don't like when people compare things in order to disparage things, but I just want to give this parallel so you can understand the beauty of it. It looked to me better than the Avatar footage. It was so groundbreaking. I literally gasped. And I like Little Mermaid, like, but I like it. I'm not like, you know, it's not something I thought I'd be there midnight for. The footage was so breathtaking. It's now I'll be there midnight. I'll be there like cheerleading this movie on. It like gobsmacked me with how beautiful this footage was.
Okay.
And the lead is just so much a Disney princess.
Yes, she is.
When she was singing, I was like, oh, this is a better take on my childhood. Like, it was like rewriting my own childhood in song. Because, you know, you hear someone cover a song you've known your whole life, you always hear the notes that are different, and usually that's a negative. In this case, I was like, man, she's killing this song and improving on my own experience.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, I'm going to puff up my sleeves and we're going to talk about Disenchanted. Let's just go to the trailer and then we'll chat about it.
I wished for a fairy tale life and it's all gone terribly wrong.
Or terribly right.
At the last stroke of 12, nothing will be as it was before.
Stepmother!
Uh-oh. Oh, Giselle, what have you done?
That's wicked.
Wicked good.
First of all, I'm shocked. I'm shook. This is not going to be in a theater. Come on. Come on. I get it, but I get it. It's you know, it's tough. It's tough to,
yeah,
you know, to have, you know, the box office numbers where you want them to be. But I thought this was just, you know, sometimes you see a sequel and you go, oh, they were just looking for a story. They didn't know what they wanted the story. This looks like it's got a great, you know, ensemble, some new people. Of course, the people that we love, our beloved are back. I want to see Amy Adams in the MCU, by the way, not just Disenchanted. But I am all in 100%. I don't know how you feel about the rom-com situation, but I just...
Oh, I'm such a sucker for a rom-com.
Are you?
I like any movie that gets me to feel the way it's trying to get me to feel. Like if a movie fails and I feel angry, that's not what I want. But like if a movie wants me to feel warm and fuzzy and like love is real and like, then that's, you've got me. And I think rom-coms are really important. I think that like love is one of the only currencies we have because time is always fleeting and love makes time extend. Like you always feel more like bountiful when you're in love. So if you can do that for 2 hours by way of going to a theater, like what better gift can a director and a cast give you than feeling love? I love me a rom-com. Enchanted. The first one was one of my biggest surprises. I'm such a James Marsden should have a bigger career guy. So like him being back, I'm all about, like, why isn't James Marsden Ryan Gosling level? But yeah, I love me some, ironically, because The Notebook.
Because she didn't choose him. That's why. If she had chosen him, Ryan Gosling would be doing Enchanted right now.
Rachel of Doctor Strange by way of Disney. You did this through the multiverse of Ryan Gosling.
James Marsden really is amazing. You know, James Marsden is like between Sonic and everything he does, he's so good. I 100% agree with you. He's such a nice guy too.
I see him on screen. I'm like, oh, good. Because yeah, every time I've interacted with him, I've always been like, this guy, like you don't get to have that face and be that kind and be that talented. Here he is doing it. So yeah, I got a lot of love for James Marsden. And then to see, you know, the great McDreamy, who came out with shock white hair, and like rocking
out.
I was like, this guy is pledging to the Hunger Games and doing it. So it was a great presentation, great trailer. I'm way more invested than I would have expected.
I just really wish that they would release it in theaters, because you're right about what you're saying about love. I'm like, he's right about that. And just I think it's one of those, it was such an iconic movie. I think it would find an audience. I don't know why. I really don't know why, but you know, we'll take what we can get. I'll be happy to watch it on Disney Plus. Okay, so let's talk about some of the other announcements that we didn't exactly get footage for, but maybe you can break down for us sort of the palpable energy in the room. So like I mentioned, Mufasa, The Lion King, will be a live action prequel directed by Barry Jenkins, no one better than him to direct that. Snow White live action film with Gal Gadot and Rachel Zegler, which looks, I mean, just the casting and just, I saw some of the red carpet and them talking about it, and it looks like just the perfect casting. Rachel Zegler, like Halle Bailey, is just
a princess.
Oh my gosh. Unbelievable. Haunted Mansion also. And then we got a little bit from Disney Film, and this is going to be on Disney Plus again, not released in theaters. Peter Pan and Wendy, which is the live action with Jude Law as Captain Hook. And then from Pixar, Elemental, and we got the Inside Out 2 announcement. And then for Disney Animation, on the Disney Animation side, Strange World and Wish. So like I said, there was a lot of announcements in terms of, you know, animated films and on, you know, in this chunk. What stood out to you in terms of being there?
So the Snow White footage was really lush. It actually looked like Technicolor. It looked like when you watch an old movie and it's just rich and the colors pop and sing. So we didn't get to see much, but what we did see was so vibrant. I was like, oh, that's a really smart take. If you're going to make something live action, make it feel palpably like the original. I really dug that. I also wish is a mix of watercolor style, hand-drawn animation and CG. And it looks so unique and it's so one of one. It's their 100th anniversary movie and it looks like they've invested. It looks so, I mean, it's weird to say this as a positive. It looks so expensive. It looks like they put their heart and wallet into making that 100th anniversary movie. Everything we love from the original hand-drawn things. And to have Alan Tudyk play a goat, I'm about it. I'm like, I love me some goats and I love Alan Tudyk.
Because you do goat yoga.
Because I do goat yoga. Just yesterday, doing goat yoga. Still hurting. It's great for you, but man, I am not flexing. But yeah, it's Alan Tudyk as a goat is so special. So I was really impressed at the overall scope of Elemental. I think it's a really cool Romeo and Juliet story between like fire and water and like how different people are, but how we can all live in symbiosis and how important it is to have people that aren't just like you in your world. The echo chamber of Twitter has made it so we're only talking to our fires and our earths and our, we need to all like unite. And Pixar's so good at using emotion, sometimes literally as a character, a la Inside Out and Two, but it's so good at using emotion to remind us like we're all one thing, even if we don't feel like one thing. And that's so important for kids to learn early.
Anything else? Any other takeaways? What was the reaction with Barry? Because Barry Jenkins was there, right?
Barry Jenkins came out. So my only reluctance is I wasn't in love with the Lion King live action we got from Jon Favreau. And that's the first Jon Favreau movie I wasn't like flabbergastedly in love with. Like usually I'm like infatuated. So I'm a little reluctant just because it's that same universe. They're, you know, they're using Timon and Pumbaa again. But it is told by Rafiki, who is one of my favorite Disney characters of all time. So a story narrated by my boy Rafiki does have me intrigued. I thought Pumbaa was great in The Lion King. So if they lean more into that story, like, I think it has potential. I'm a little reluctant because the uncanny valley-ness of photorealistic CGI animals. It's a hard thing for my brain to go like, I'd like more of that, please.
Do you think they're doing that again? Do you think they're going to sort of replicate?
It's the same models. It's like a prequel to that live action Jon Favreau movie.
Interesting. So
that's my only reluctance is like, I had a hard time personally with that journey. So I'm curious how I am affected by this new one.
Go ahead.
Oh, they also gave us a new show from Pixar, which is their first TV show.
Oh, tell me about that.
It's called Win or Lose. And it's a long form Pixar show in the style of Pixar, but each episode is the same week of the other episode from a new perspective. So every episode is a different lead, all living the same journey. So you as a person go like, hey, let me look at how I experienced this. Maybe that's different from how you experienced this. Maybe. And it's all taking place over the course of like one softball or baseball game. And each episode looks to have a different style of animation. So it's like Spider-Verse meets Pixar meets perspective. And it looks so magical.
They can do no wrong. They're amazing. They're just by the way, there was a show on HBO called The Affair that did that. They showed his perspective for the first half, her perspective for the second half. And this is just going to, you know, be the very G-rated version.
It's a less violent The Last Duel with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Yeah, a little Jodie Comer's not going to have to act her eyeballs out negatively. But yeah, that world.
All right, well, let's close this out with two major, major, major presentations. Avatar 2, Avatar the Way of Water, 13 minutes of footage shown. You've already sort of hinted a little bit. And then, of course, we're going to finish it off with Indiana Jones 5 and a weepy Harrison Ford, a surprisingly weepy Harrison Ford. So let's start with Avatar 2, Avatar the Way of Water, I should say it properly. I personally cannot wait for this movie. This is my baby. This is the one that I cannot wait for everybody to watch this movie and be like, have the same feelings they had watching the first one, where you see things that you never thought could be done before. And James Cameron is going to prove all those naysayers wrong. What say you?
So I was very, very happy for the first 5 minutes. Okay. And I don't think it's the footage's problem. I think it's the scenes they chose because of how I watch movies. I think personally the narrative issue was my struggle because I think these 13 minutes are 5 scenes over the course of the full 3 acts. So I was getting invested and then all of a sudden I'd be ripped out and launched an hour ahead and be like, okay, what's going on? And instead of being able to invest in the beauty of it, which I was able to do in the first 5 minutes before it jumped, I was like, I'm trying to piece together the story. And that was very negative for my brain because I was like, wait, who's Spider? Who's this guy? Why do they have kids? Who are these kids? What's going on over here? And then as soon as I'd be able to like breathing again and settled in, it'd be like, and now we're over here. And I was like, what? It felt like I was watching a puzzle be built from the corners.
Okay.
And I never got to grasp anything. And I understand they obviously can't show 13 linear minutes and they've gotten this stuff done. It was just really jarring as someone who looks at stories first, visuals second, to look at visuals and not be like, I don't know why I care about this character they're crying about. Like it was a hard narrative journey. That said, I literally and actually leaned back at one point when a bow and arrow came out because I thought like I saw it sweep in front of me and I felt so ridiculous. I felt like a child. I felt like when I saw Avatar 1 and I was like, ugh! And so I can't deny, even with my Little Mermaid hype, that I dodged fake 3D coming at me at a screen 100 feet away, because it is that good. 4K, vibrant. Wow. It is truly stunning. It's like, not honestly, it's like nothing I've seen before.
And this is why I think once they connect those dots for you and you see the story in linear version, it's going to, I mean, he spent 4 years writing these scripts. 4 years.
And they have to be great, because the man is, you know, Terminator. He's given us Alien. Like, there's no way it won't be. I just think the reason I enjoyed Little Mermaid more is, and maybe this is it, is it's one song. They didn't show us clips. They showed us the song. And then I was able to look at the visuals from this makes sense, I already know this song, versus like scattered, oh, pretty, pretty, pretty.
Right. The simplicity of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was nice to just like lean back and smile.
Right.
And you know, you work cons, they're not like relaxing. So it was maybe also like the chaos of the con meets the chaos of 13 minutes of 5 scenes. And whereas Little Mermaid, I'm like, I know this song, I'm gonna lean back and enjoy it.
Okay. So fill me in on, oh my gosh, why was Harrison, why did he choke up? What was going on with that? I mean, Indiana Jones 5, I mean, the one thing that I took away that he said was he gave Phoebe Waller-Bridge some major props, but he said, this movie is going to kick your butt. Like, it's going to really kick your butt. It's so good. He really seems, and Harrison, you know how he is in public sometimes. He's very like, he's not the easiest person to interview always. So to see him this emotional on such a large stage, break it down. How was it?
I have had but one incredible interaction with Mr. Harrison Ford, and it was so intimidating because he's Harrison Ford. So when the man that is the Nerf herder comes out, you worry about handling yourself. So when he came out emotional, I think all of us that collectively know that gruff man like leaned forward. There was something about like all of us being like, Grandpa? Like there's a collective we love you from the room. So I think 7,500 people were just like, don't cry. And like the emotion in the room was like, I don't think I've ever, I mean, I've cried in Hall H, Wakanda Forever broke me. And I've definitely had like the collective emotional consciousness be at footage, but I don't think I've ever felt that many thousands of people be like, no person we know. And it was really special. And I think the movie meant so much to him because we hadn't seen the trailer yet. So I think this is the first time he's gotten to share something that means a lot to him. He wouldn't have signed on to Indy 5 after what happened with Kingdom Skull, whatever, Shia movie. Like, he wouldn't have done it unless he was invested in it. So I think having to hold it so close to the vest this long, having the character of Indy mean so much to him, showing it to the audience for the first time, I think it's also nice for him to not be asked about the Force. I think he's happy. Like, I think there's a relief to him getting to play a character he wants to discuss. So I think all of that just came out with like a very emotionally available Harrison Ford.
Well, James Mangold, I'm sorry. He is just, he's so good. I mean, I cannot wait to see what he does, but yeah, no, you're
I also
right.
think he had just hugged Key Quinn backstage for the first time. Like, maybe they had just seen each other for the first time in 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, cause Key Quinn was there for Loki and for, the Jake Gyllenhaal animated movie. So like he was there. So maybe they just ran into each other and he was already like emotionally like, oh my God, I haven't seen you. So like, whatever it was endearing.
You know why I love what you just said? Because that photo that everybody's talking about of them hugging and, you know, next to the throwback photo, that was my most excited moment of the entire thing, because anybody who saw Everything Everywhere All at Once and knows how darling he is and what an incredible actor he is, to see him announce for Loki season 3 is like insane, insane, insane.
So I think maybe he was emotional because like that moment, that, think about how much we felt in that image. Yeah. What would they have felt? So maybe he was just freshly crying.
He was just happy to see him, his old buddy.
Yeah. And we were all happy for it. Like, I don't know. I that was one of those like Jamie Lee Curtis hugging that fan in the Halloween panel moment, you know, where it's just like, we don't always realize how much this art means to the artist as well as us. And I think it's really important you know, when we critique, the reason I don't consider myself a critic is I don't have bad things to say about even things I don't enjoy, because I know people's souls are in it. So I can't imagine when something that's a part of your soul from 30 years ago that you've grown up with, that you've invested in, coming back and showing to the first audience, how people aren't always crying. So like, it felt like we just got to see the man I think Harrison Ford is.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought it was beautiful. My gosh, we did it. You cried.
We did it.
We did it. Well, you did it. You were there. You broke it down for us. Coy, you are truly one of a kind. Like, there's your knowledge, your wealth of knowledge and your passion. We so appreciate having you. Thank you so much for your time. Give yourself a plug. Let people know where they can find you.
So you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all at Coy Jandreau, CoyJandreau. I'm trying to learn TikTok. I know that it's very speedy and I'm a long form, not known for my brevity fellow, but I'm trying to grow that TikTok. And yeah, find me everywhere. I love talking movies. I love talking art. And I really, really, really love people. And I really love that we're getting back to a place where I feel like that's not a weird thing to say. And things like Celebration and things like D23 and things like Comic-Con, it reminds you we're not yelling into our phones to nothing, that you guys listening are there and you appreciate our take. So it just means the world to get to go to these events and actually meet the people listening. So thank you, dear listener, for caring like we do.
And thank you, because I know you posted a photo of yourself doing goat yoga. So everybody's got to go watch that.
Set to Guns N' Roses. And it was quite the thing. It was a 90-pound goat. That was a very big goat. It was, one was 70, one was 90. Not easy to do push-ups with a living creature moving its hooves on you.
Oh my gosh. I think you've just been cast in the next Thor movie. All right, everybody, thank you so much for watching. We hope you enjoyed this breakdown of the very special D23 2022. We will see you next time on the After Show. Bye.